the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside.
Hello, and welcome to part 3 of our 8-part series entitled Beyond Black and White, Addressing Cultural Bias in Word Gap Studies. I'm Penny Smith with special guest Dr. Anita Pandey, author of Language Building Blocks. Dr. Pandey, how does the argument that quantity isn't quality address cultural bias?
Thank you for asking that question. I think that the best way I can say this is it's almost like deja vu. I recall the Ebonics controversy, and when the policy was first written in Oakland, California, to help the children who were failing schools at an unprecedented rate, that the policy was written that these children are coming to school with a language that is genetically related, and that was the term, genetically related to standard English, then the whole policy was taken out of context, and the entire resolution had to be rewritten, because you might recall there was a lot of anger, because people thought that the Oakland school district was saying that they're going to teach Ebonics, mm-hmm. which, by the way, was a word coined by a black psychologist to celebrate the phonetic quality of this language that has different variations around the country and now is actually being used around the world and actually has more non-African-American users and speakers of this language variety than African-Americans. But this is the best example I can give because of sort of a reincarnation of this word gap. Because even then, we were seeing that the children were underperforming in school because they were being measured on the quantity of words they knew. But quantity isn't quality. You could, for example, try to translate trippin' into standard English, and you would come up with multiple interpretations, some of which would not be restricted to a single word equivalent. You could give someone the I in some varieties of African-American English, or Ebonics, however you want to term this beautiful variety that actually has a grammar to it because there's a right way and a wrong way of saying it. And I'm not just talking about pronunciation, I'm talking about rules. And that's how you know it has a grammar. But this is what I mean by quantities and quality. So if a child doesn't seem to know a certain number of words, does that really mean that they're behind? What if they know the concept and in their dialect or in their language, they say it through another word or through something other than a single word. So that's what I mean by that argument.
That's great. Thank you, Dr. Pandey. Please join us in the next podcast for part 4, where we will pinpoint the cultural bias with the argument that not all concepts are captured in words.